Make yourselves comfortable. My master will be with you shortly.
On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go. Welcome to Nightwise.com.
Nightwise.com. Tune tech into your way of life and let the technology work for you.
On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go, and you found it. Welcome to Nightwise.com, the one and only podcast with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Whether you are a Windows, a Linux, a Mac, an Android, an iOS, or, I don't know, a Windows phone user, we have got the tricks and tips you need to tune that technology into your way of life and letting that tech work for you instead of the other way around. My name's Nightwise, and for the coming 60 minutes or so, I'll be your host on this week's podcast, KW405, where we talk about NAS for free. For more information and the show notes, head on over to the website, www.nightwise.com. That's KNIGHTWISE.com, where you find the links to everything we talk about and the Nightwise.com media feed. Subscribe to this feed and get all of the Nightwise.com content in your podcatcher automatically, letting technology work for you. If you want to get in touch with us, you can. Feedback at nightwise.com for good old-fashioned email. Nightwise.com/Twitter if you want to find us on Twitter. Nightwise.com/Facebook if you want to find our fan page on Facebook. And nightwise.com/Google+. Those are all the ways that you can find us. But if you are in any doubt, just head on over to www.nightwise.com. That's KNIGHTWISE.com, home of the Nightwise.com podcast. Hey, Nightwise girls and Nightwise guys, wise girls and wise guys, how are you tonight? I am settling down in the home office after a long day at work and having tinkered around with many, many technological gadgets before I finally had the time to settle down behind the microphone, put the headphones on, and slide into another recording of the Nightwise.com podcast. It's great to be back, and I want to thank everybody, just starting off to say thanks for all the nice feedback that we got on the previous episode with Lord Rochenblut and Proxmox, and the story time episode about turning VMs, or turning Windows 98 machines into VMs. Got a lot of feedback on that. And for those of you who liked those techie stuff episodes, we've got another techie stuff episode for you today. We are going to talk about storage. We're going to talk about a open source storage solution for the home. Now, I know what you're going to say. Oh, Nightwise, what am I going to do with that? Well, just hear me out. Let me finish. And I will show you that you will have a good use in your life for a NAS for free box, which will give you an answer to a lot of questions that you might have as a slider. Let's take a look at NAS for free and turning a NAS for free storage server, virtual or physical, into the major crossroad of data exchange in your cross-platform sliding life. Time to get technical. Time to get into the meat of the matter. NAS for free. I know that some of you might say, what is NAS for free? What's a NAS? What's free? Why does it sound like free NAS? And why do I need a box for storing my data on? Why can't I just do it on my hard drive of my laptop or the external USB drive that I have? Well, before we get into answering those questions, we'll see what your problem might be. You might be in need of storage. There's a lot of data out there, movies you can download, music you can own, and files that you make, and podcasts that you record. And then you have a plethora of devices. You have your laptop, you have your desktop, you have your smartphone, you have your tablet. And it's not really easy to keep that data everywhere. I mean, you can store it everywhere, but then you duplicate all of the data that you have, and you have some files on your laptop and some files on your desktop and something on your iPhone and something on your Android. Not really convenient. Or you have everything in one place, and you always need to sit at that computer to access that information, or you have everything on an external USB drive, and you are lugging that around like crazy to get your data when you want it and where you want it, and it was very hard for you last time when you had to hook up that 2 terabyte external USB drive to your smartphone while you were skydiving off a cliff or something. So you might need storage, centralized storage, storage that you can access from anywhere, over the network, from any device, and if possible, from any location. That's a fair question to have. You also might need some services. Services, I hear you say? Yeah, services. Like, for example, wouldn't it be nice to have a place to store all of your music, but being able to play that music from any device on your network or on the internets using your browser, turning your music storage files server into a private radio station? Or wouldn't it be nice to store all of your, let's say, movies somewhere and be able to stream them from anywhere? Wouldn't it be great to have a place to store your files that has something more to offer than just sharing files so you can access them and open them, but also will give you some extra services? All might sound very interesting, and when you say like, that sounds very interesting, which you might say, you might want to look around. And if you do look around, you might find an old clunker lying around, an old tower, you know, an XT or an ATX tower with some room for drives, and it's just sitting there because now you've switched over to your fancy laptop, and you still have that big beige box standing there, not really powerful enough to do any desktop stuff, but with plenty of power or storage capacity in the tower to slide in some external disks that you still have lying around, external or internal disks. You know, that 1 gigabyte hard drive that you discarded because you bought a 2 gigabyte one, or that 500 gigabyte one, or that 1 terabyte one, or, you know, all of that stuff that you once bought but never used anymore. Why not put that to good use? The answer is fairly simple. Why not, if you want an answer to all of those questions, you want centralized file storage, you want a place to store all of your data centrally, you want some services, you want to do something with an old machine, and you have some hardware or hard disks lying around, why not build a NAS? Now, what's a NAS? A NAS is a network attached storage, which basically means it's kind of like a giant USB stick with a network port, which means that you can not only access it from one computer, like that's the case with a local hard drive or a USB drive or an external hard drive. You can just access that from one computer at the same time. But instead of swapping around your disks, you have one centralized system that is built especially for storage. It's network attached storage. And this storage can be used by all of the devices on your network. Now, if you take a look at Amazon or stuff, you'll find plenty of NAS devices. These NAS devices are little boxes, and they have 1 or 2 or 4 or 6 drives in them. And you can just hook them up to the network. You don't need a monitor. You don't need a keyboard or just a little box with a network port. You hit power and bam, it works. You can access the files via Samba, and you can configure everything via a web interface, and they might do some fancy stuff, and it's pretty cool. But actually, it's a very tiny computer, because it runs, most of these NAS machines are a hard drive, a network port, a little motherboard, and on that little motherboard with a very tiny processor and a small amount of RAM, it sits mostly some version of Linux. Now, you can buy all kinds of NASes. NASes is plural, I think. You can buy like Synology and, let me see, what else? Seagate or Western Digital. Everybody has NAS drives that you can just buy. The problem with these is they come with an embedded operating system. So there's all the functionality that you have is right there. It boots up pretty quickly, but most of these drives are pretty slow and you can't change anything about the embedded stuff. Well, unless you really want to hack around. So these things are kind of slow. They are a little bit expensive and they're fairly limited because you can't tweak and hack around with them. Now, if we take a look at, for example, the Drobo is nice. It gives it has room for all of your spare hard drives, but you can change what the system inside the Drobo does. You can change how it will actually format your drives. You can't change anything. It's really, really locked in. So why not bring a little bit of a change to that? Why not build our own NAS? We take a lot of we take a couple of drives, we take an old PC, and we take a free distribution of NAS for free, which is a fork of FreeNAS, but that's not important right now, and start making our own super customizable, self-built, scalable, recyclable, because you use older hardware, and super cool file server that will be the crossroads for all of your devices, whether you're at home or you're away or anywhere. Let's build such a box. Let's take NAS for free for a spin, and I'll tell you what it does. NAS for free is a fork of FreeNAS. FreeNAS is a free version of Linux, especially built to make your own NAS drive, to turn an old PC into a network attached storage. FreeNAS has some extra options and NAS for free has some extra options, is a special fork of FreeNAS, and I decided to, after I got introduced to it, play around with it a little bit because I wanted something to share out my files, and I didn't want to have just a Linux server or just my Mac server having a file share that I could just access via Samba. Samba is the file sharing protocol that is compatible with other Linux machines, that is compatible with Windows. I mostly share out my things via Samba. The great thing about FreeNAS is that it has a little bit more to offer. And I'm going to do this a little bit live. Bear with me here. As I'm going to log in to my FreeNAS box downstairs. Given the right IP. Because FreeNAS has a very cool web interface that you can use. I'll just log in here. The great thing about FreeNAS is that it doesn't only share files out. It offers a lot of extra file services, extra services that it will offer to your network and that you can access. For example, SMB file sharing, which is nice if you just want to, you know, make a share, put some files on it, and open that share over the network, in your local network, from your Linux machine or your Mac machine, or your Windows machine. Pretty great. Works cross-platform. Just a file share. You can just open it, write to it, open files, delete files, stuff like that. Cool, really? Well, yeah, sure. But it also supports Apple File Protocol. So the Apple variant of file sharing of Samba. It also supports NFS, Network File System, or File Sharing Protocol, which is the Linux version of Samba, if you want to use that. But you can also turn it into an FTP server. So those files that are centrally stored can also be accessed via FTP. If you want to use FileZilla for secure shell or secure FTP, why not? You can also set up an SFTP server. Do you want to terminal into the box and look at your files that way? Well, you can. You have SSH. Do you want to sync your box to other locations to make backups? You can. It's an rsync server. You have a local client on your laptop and you want to make your own version of Dropbox, you can. It comes with Unison. There are another number of services that are out there and some of them are really cool. For example, you can turn your NAS Freebox into a UPnP server. That means you put movies on your NAS Freebox. You can just open them and play them via the standard file share. But you also can have, if your TV supports DLNA, have it detect the DLNA server or the UPnP server box of NAS for Free or that service and say, hey, there are a couple of movies over there. You want me to stream them? And instead of just having a box that shares files, you now have a box that also says, oh, yeah, sure, I can stream them to any device that you want. I got an Xbox there. I'll stream them to there. I got a TV there. I'll stream them to there. You got your iPad there? Okay, you can play them straight from me. It has a UPnP or DLNA server. We mentioned this in a previous box, in a previous podcast. What about your iTunes directory? Why not store all of your iTunes files on your NAS for Free box and then play them from anywhere? Because it supports iTunes. It supports DIN DNS to update your dynamic IP. It supports being a web server. You can also use it as a web server. Very, very convenient. And of course, you can also use it as a BitTorrent server. Just feed it a torrent and it will automatically download it. So it's more than just a box. It will give you a lot of different services, and file sharing is just one of them. Now, what if you say, yeah, Nightwise, sure, I'm happy with that, but I don't want to lose my data. You can set it to do software RAID. You can put two disks in it and ask it to do a RAID, let me say here, RAID 1, where it mirrors information of the first disk on the second disk. NAS for Free can do that. Or you can put in 3 or 5 drives and make a RAID 5 out of it. That way your data gets distributed over the 5 disks. And if one disk should fail, you still have all your data, and you can just replace it with a new disk and it will rebuild the entire drive set and bring you back up to capacity. NAS for Free can do all of that. The great thing is that you can control NAS for Free completely from the web interface. Now, if I take a look at the web interface here, I've got some system options. I can do some network management. I can manage my disks. I've got all these services that I mentioned. I can set up users and groups. I can even tie it to an Active Directory should I want to, but that's a little bit too advanced for the home user. And I can take a look at what's going on with this system. I can see how much drive space I have free, what's currently holding up my machine, who is using the most data, how much data am I actually pumping out. You've got a nice graph of the performance of your NAS for Free box. It's so much more than having just a file share. The cool thing, I think, about NAS for Free is that it specializes in what it does. For example, if you have a server and you want some file sharing, you just have file sharing on that server and it will share files and you can make users, and that's great. The great thing about NAS for Free is that it is especially built for file sharing, and it will actually give you all these kinds of great options you can tinker and toy with. It says, look, I'm going to be your one-stop shop for file sharing. Just give me all your files. I'll store them. I'll make sure that I can back them up. I can stream them to other devices. I can make them accessible from the outside. You can FTP into me. By the way, if you want me to download your BitTorrent files, just give them over to me. I'll put them here, and you can access them from any computer. It's really your core where all of your files go, and together with that central storage, you get all these fancy services. So the device is really built to do what it does very, very well. The great thing is that you can define all kinds of users on that. You can make, for example, if you have 5 family members, you can give everybody a separate folder and you can give everybody separate rights. And you can also give them access or deny them access to some of those services, like Auntie May can do BitTorrent and Cousin Jay can use SFTP to pick up the files from the outside. And let's say Aunt Betty can do Unison file sharing. So there you can really define users and tell them what they can access and what they cannot do. So it is actually a slider's crossroad because it is so versatile and has so much to offer. I'm going to give you some practical advantages and examples how to turn your free NAS machine into that central crossroad for all of your devices, whether they are a laptop, a desktop, a mobile, or whether you're at home with your Windows laptop or remote with your Linux laptop, whether you're in the tub with your Android tablet or you're under the shower with your iPad mini. You can just use NAS for Free anywhere, except under the shower with your iPad mini, because your iPad mini doesn't really like that. It's kind of a moist environment, and I've heard that electronics don't take that very nicely. The first functionality that Nastro Free will offer to your entire network is, of course, file sharing. As I said, it supports all of the file sharing standards, NFS, AFP, and SMB, or Samba file sharing. I use Samba file sharing the most because it's compatible everywhere. If I want to share files out to my Windows, my Linux, or my Mac desktops or laptops, I just make a Samba file share and make a user on the NAS for free box. And when I use my Mac, I just browse over the network to that file share, mount the share or just connect to it, enter my credentials, and I'm good to go. Once you have that file or that share mounted, what you can do is point all of your Dropbox and Ubuntu One and all of your cloud folders, which are otherwise stored locally on your desktop at home, and say, you know what? I don't want to store them on my desktop at home because you don't take that anywhere. I'm just going to store that on my NAS for free box. An example is I've got three desktops around the house here. I've got a Dropbox account and a Ubuntu One account. That's all nice and dandy. Now, if I make a new file on my desktop here, it needs to sync that file over to all of the other Dropbox installs. That takes a lot of traffic on my network, takes up some traffic on my network. It takes a little bit of time before they're synchronized, and the three devices are in the house. It's kind of dumb to have the storage distributed over three machines. So what have I done? I've made a share on my NAS for free box. I've mounted that share on my Linux desktop, and I've mounted that share on my Mac desktop. I've installed Dropbox, and instead of giving Dropbox the standard folder where it can drop its files, I say, you know what, Mr. Dropbox, you just store your files here on that network share, and Dropbox will sync them down. When I go to my second desktop, I say, I'll install Dropbox, and I'll say, I'll tell you where you need to sync those files. And I also pointed to the network share. The great thing is, because they're two desktops, they aren't going anywhere. They just connect over the network always to my NAS for free box, which is online always. And there's just one instance of the files on my shared network. That means that if I update things, it goes really, really fast because I'm using cloud storage on a local server. So I've got the copy of my files in the cloud, and I've got a copy of my files on my local server. My desktops actually don't have anything anymore. So when I dump a big file that I just recorded, for example, this recording, I dump it in my Dropbox folder on my network share. It doesn't have to get synced over to the cloud and get downloaded back. When I open up my second machine, boom, it's right there. It does get pushed to the cloud should I need to access it on my laptops, but for those desktops in the house that just want to share that storage of Dropbox, that local storage, using your NAS box, your network share, to store the local copies of your cloud data makes for, you can access the files very fast, and the updates get pushed to all of your machines very fast because there's just one instance, and it helps you, save a little bit on disk storage. Now, I've done this with all my Dropbox folders, my Ubuntu One folders. Instead of just storing them locally on every desktop, I just pointed them toward that central share where all of my cloud folders sit. The second thing that you can do is access your files from beyond your network. And I really like using SSH or SFTP, which is an encrypted way of accessing your files. What I've done is I've opened up a port on my router. In my case, I've not taken the standard port 22, but taken an exotic port like 2222, and pointed it towards my NAS for free box. This means that my NAS for free box is accessible via FileZilla or SFTP. So when I go outside and I'm with my laptop and I do need a file that is stored at home centrally, I can just use FileZilla to connect to my NAS for free box at home and basically dump files or download files and access them, which is really nice because, you know, that way I can always access my files from wherever I am. The great thing is that when I'm using my Ubuntu box, I can actually mount that SSH server, that folder on the SSH server on NAS for free, and mount that as a standard network connection. Because in Ubuntu, you can choose in Nautilus, connect to server, and choose the SSH protocol. Enter the IP address or dynamic DNS name of your home server, write port, and Ubuntu will actually mount it as a folder. So it's great because then you can just click on that bookmark that you set in Nautilus that connects to your home server, and you have instantly an encrypted connection to your home NAS for free box that you can use to access files and write files and do stuff like that. And nobody can see what you're doing because it's a nice encrypted tunnel. Very nice to access those files. So on your network via Samba and via FileZilla or SSH when you're outside of your network. The great thing is you can even do that on your smartphone. Because SFTP is accessible with everything, you can just use a GoodReader on iOS to connect to that SSH server and to that folder. And in GoodReader on your iPad or iPad mini or iPhone, you can even say, you know what, that folder at home that you're accessing via that SSH connection, do me a local sync if you want. Can you please sync that folder over locally on my iPad? So you're actually building your own Dropbox kind of setup where you can actually save those files locally on your iOS device while still having an encrypted connection to home. Really, really convenient. What I used to do was download all of my podcasts. Instead of storing them on my desktop, I would store them on my NAS for free box. And using GoodReader, I would sync that folder to my iPad or my iPod Touch and have my podcasts available. Because my podcasts were also on the NAS for free box and it allowed me to play them using a web browser, I could also play them anywhere, which was so very cool. I could just stream them when I wanted to. On Android, you can use the cool tool MX File Explorer, which does the same thing. You can just connect to your home server via SSH, drop files, and upload files. Let me just see, because I've got some other files here on my tablet. Just bear with me as I look for the application. One of them is, I mentioned it, and I don't have my phone with me, but I'll put it in the show notes. It's called BotSync, which is basically the same thing as I just mentioned with GoodReader, where you can just sync the files over to your Android phone or to your Android tablet and store them there locally. Really nice once you start using your NAS for free box as a central file storage and you can then access it from anywhere. The other thing that I really like is that you can use your NAS for free box as a download machine. You know, you've got a BitTorrent client on your desktop and a BitTorrent client on your Mac and a BitTorrent client on your Windows machine. And when you start downloading, you always have to keep those machines active. Not anymore, because NAS for free comes with a BitTorrent client. It's a web-based version of what is it called on Ubuntu? Let me see. Is it term? No. It's transmission. It's the web-based version of transmission. What it does, it opens up a web page on a certain port. So you enter the URL of your NAS for free box. And if you forward the right port, you can even do that from wherever you are. And it will give you a web interface. All you need to do is feed it a torrent file. You upload the torrent file. You say to your NAS for free box, make my day. And it will automatically download this torrent file. You can just disconnect, you know, close the website, go do whatever you want to do, shut down whatever devices that you have, as long as your NAS for Freebox will keep running. It will download that torrent file and put it on the NAS for Freebox. And you can, should you want to, share that folder where your BitTorrent files are being, where your downloads are being stored, over the network via Samba. You can even make it a little bit cooler if you use the UPnP server. This UPnP server will allow you to stream the video that is on your NAS for Freebox to any device that supports DLNA. So let us get geeky. You install NAS for Free. You configure the BitTorrent server, and you configure the UPnP server. You can just tell it where to go look for files. You have a great movie that you bought, but want to download off the internet just to check if the DVD that you bought is the same movie as the ones that are on the internet. And you feed it the BitTorrent file. So you go to your NAS for Freebox via your browser, and that can be from your smartphone, from your tablet, from your iPhone, from your laptop, from your data center, I don't know, as long as you have an internet connection and a browser. You go to your NAS for Freebox, you feed it the torrent, and NAS for Free will download the torrent automatically. Once the torrent is ready, it will, you know, set the AVI or the movie file in that directory. Now we are going to configured our UPnP server to take a look in that directory. So when you open up your UPnP or DLNA compatible TV, or you have a client like, for example, XBMC or AVideo or AirVideo on iOS, or XBMC on your desktop, or some player that supports DLNA on your Android device, it will say, hey, there's the NAS for Freebox. You click on it, and it will say, hey, there's a movie here. Want me to stream it? And you just say, yeah, sure. And it will play. So finding the torrent, uploading the torrent to your NAS for Freebox, just via the browser, downloading your torrent, and being able to play that movie is all done automatically by NAS for Free. The only thing that you need to do when your girlfriend says, I want to watch Twilight, you can just say, I've got it there. I've got Twilight here in the cupboard. I've actually bought it, but I am too ashamed to take it out because people might see me through the window. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hide in the bathroom, and I'm going to download the Twilight torrent of the DVD that I'm owning, and I'm going to feed it to my NAS for Freebox, and it's going to download it in the background. And once it's there, you can automatically stream it, and I will never have to leave this room until you're done watching Twilight, because I just cannot bear the shame. You see, I told you it would be nice to use. So that UPnP server, in combination with the fact that it's a download server and also a content serving server, like a movie serving server, it's really nice. It's really that core with those extra services. Now, what you can also have is that you have a lot of music in your iTunes, and you have machines in the house that want to access iTunes, but they can't, because your Mac's not online every day. So you got all these nice music on your laptop, your Mac laptop, and you take your Mac laptop to work, and your girlfriend says, you have this massive Justin Bieber collection, and I can't listen to it when you're not at home. So what do you do with your massive Justin Bieber collection? What you do is you copy over your iTunes directory to your NAS for Free drive. Copy it over once a week. Activate the iTunes DAAP server, which is in NAS for Free, and say, look, Mr. DAAP server, here is my iTunes database. That's the iTunes XML file. And there's where the files are stored. And the DAAP server will actually pretend it's a shared iTunes library. So when you're opening up any version of iTunes in your house, it will say, like, oh, look, there's an instance of iTunes. Now, you can only read or play the music. You cannot add to the music, and it cannot change the database. So you can't add metadata or do different things with it. It just plays, but it plays well. So you can just have a copy stored on your NAS for Free, which is great for backup purposes, but it will also play out that copy to the rest of the network using iTunes as a front end. So pretty cool. But then you say, I do not trust people. You have issues with trust. You do not trust, for example, Dropbox. You don't trust it. I don't blame you. And you say, I want my own Dropbox. And you can. You can install an application called Unison. Unison will actually use rsync to synchronize files from a laptop or desktop to a server. And that server is NAS for free. Now, that NAS free server needs to talk to the Unison client. And that is a functionality that NAS for free has. Pretty cool. If you get to setting it up right, you can really have the Unison server of NAS for free talk to the Unison clients on your Linux machine or your Mac machine. And you can play Dropbox just like that. And you know that the files that you have are stored at home and not anywhere else. I know you have that My Little Pony picture collection that you've had since you were on the internet for the very first day, and you don't want to know the people at Ubuntu One or the people at Dropbox that you have indeed the biggest My Pony collection on the planet. So use Unison, use NAS for free, and store it safely. There's also a web server. You can just give it a website and it will serve it. Which is nice, because what I've done is I've made a website with all of the links to the different services I can access via the web interface. I can access the DLNA server and configure it via the IP address of my NAS for free server and a special port, a certain port. I can access the transmission web interface at the IP address of my NAS for free box and a certain port. So instead of, you know, having to remember all of that, I just put down all of those links on a web page. And I serve that web page on my NAS for free box. So when I surf to it, I've got this page. So if you want BitTorrent, click here. If you want to configure DAAP, click here. If you want to mess around with your DLNA server, click here. If you want to see what the iTunes server is doing, click here. If you want to control the entire NAS for free box, click here. I just put the links underneath each other. And now I just surf to that one page and I click, 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 click. And I've got everything. The great thing with this web interface is that you can access it from any device, which is really, really super cool. So what if you say, oh, Nightwise, I want this. I want this more than the next DVD box of Jersey Shore. Yes, you want it more than that. I know. It's a hard call, but you want it more than Jersey Shore. But your girlfriend says, yeah, not really. We're not going to do a beige box in the house. Another beige box that spinning power is expensive these days. It makes a lot of noise. It's, warming up the planet, and it makes the penguins swim around, and we're not going to do that. You can, in fact, virtualize your NAS for free box in a virtual machine and use it that way, having a server with storage on an external drive hooked up to one of your machines that's running overnight, being your virtual secret super storage for your data. How are we going to do that? That's what we're going to take a look at in the final chapter after a little spot of music. We'll be right back. The great thing about NAS for free is that it has almost no system footprint. I mean, the machine that is actually running NAS for free, or that the operating system, is very, very light. There's almost nothing to run. You can even run NAS for free on 512 megs of RAM or less. And you can even run it off an SD card should you want to. All you need is drives. Now, what I was playing around with is I had a 2 terabyte external hard drive. And I thought, you know, when I want to build my NAS for free box, I need a physical machine. And on that physical machine, I'll need hard drives and they will take up a lot of power. I've got some hard drives lying around, but, you know, I rather run one hard drive with a 2 terabyte capacity than running 4 hard drives with a 500 gigabyte capacity. So I just went out, bought myself a 2 terabyte drive and started working on it. Using VirtualBox, I created a very small VDK, or virtual hard disk, of about 2 gigabytes. I assigned the virtual machine 512 megs of RAM and 1 core. On that single, very small virtual machine, I installed NAS for free. Very easy to configure. You just get a command line menu. It says, do you want to configure the network interface? Yes, I want to. What's the IP address that you want? This is the IP address that I want. Well, okay, kind sir. Now you can just go to the website of the web interface and configure your entire NAS for free box. Now, with a 2 gigabyte hard drive, I wasn't going to go anywhere, now was I? So I thought, you know what? I'm going to make a second virtual hard disk of about 1.5 terabyte and hook that up to the virtual machine that I just made for NAS for free. So I made a VDI file, or a virtual box disk image, of 1.5 terabytes. Now I thought, like, this is really nuts. Instead of just storing the files on my drive, I'm going to make a gigantic virtual hard drive and put all of the files in there. That's not going to really work. It's going to be slow. Well, actually, no. I made the second VDI file, the 1.5 virtual disk image in VirtualBox, and hooked it up to NAS for free. I said, look, NAS for free, meet disk. Hello, NAS for free said. Hello, disk. Disk said, hello. But disk wasn't really a disk. Ha! Disk was a virtual file. And I said, you know, this is a disk, and you can start storing your data there. And it did, which is nice. And I thought, you know, I'm going to put some stuff on it, and when I'm going to do file sharing, or I'm going to do streaming, or I'm going to use all these crazy functionalities, it's going to be slow as molasses. But it didn't turn out that way, because it worked quite well. What is the great advantage of this? One, I have, as you know, an i7 Mac Mini that does all of my virtual machines. NAS for free is a dedicated external hard disk, 2 terabytes, and 1 virtual machine is on there. Now, when I want to access my NAS for free box, it will actually respond very, very quickly. It will use the CPU power when it's available and pump out the data that it needs to pump out. When it's not doing anything, it's not doing anything, and all of the power goes to my other virtual machines. So I will actually have CPU power that I can share with other machines. I don't need a dedicated box, and it still gives me a very high performance. The one thing that I also did is that I subdivided, I made another 500 gigabytes virtual image, and I also hooked that up to NAS for free. NAS for free thought, okay, this is another physical disk, but actually it was another virtual disk, which was stored on a different USB hard drive. I just wanted to see, I mean, is it faster if I store it externally? And, you know, this kind of spreads out your data, so that you don't have, you know, when your OneDrive crashes, you don't lose everything. I mean, you still need to copy things over and stuff and make sure that you have your backups running. But it also allowed me to kind of spread out the storage that I wanted to use on different systems. The great thing is with my NAS for free box is that it's completely portable storage solution. So I don't, when I want to go over to, a friend's house, I say, you know, I've got, you know, music and movies and all of the video files with me that I made with the podcast, and I want to share them with you on your network. I can now actually take an entire server with me instead of just having the files. And, you know, having to copy them over because at home I have them stored with certain user rights and stuff like that, I can just pick up the hard drive. It has its own system. I only need to hook it up to a laptop running VirtualBox, start it up, and say, okay, give it the right IP address so it can play nicely in that network. And not only the data, but also all of the services and the users and the security are a portable solution to me. I really like it. It's very flexible, easy to copy over from one file to from one disk to another, and it is very low power for me. The USB connection and the virtual machine overhead were going to be the speed caps. I thought, you know, I'm gonna you know, run into the fact that, you know, my USB can only handle so much, and my virtual machine is not really fast enough. But I only have two or three users in the house. So it doesn't have to be super performant. But what I did notice, and that's funny, is that when I want to stream a movie, Twilight, for example, that's in the cupboard, but I don't take it out because people might see me, and I put it on my virtual host machine, on my Mac Mini running OS X. Put it there. I go on another system over the network and I try to stream that movie over a Sama Share. I connect to a Sama Share on my Mac Mini and I say, play that movie. And from the physical machine, from the Mac Mini, the host operating system, the movie is little herky-jerky over my network. So I thought, Then I actually put that same movie file inside my NAS for free, which was a virtual machine with virtual storage on an external USB drive. You know what? It streamed without a hitch. The performance of NAS for free was better in a virtual machine than the physical performance of my Mac Mini server was. So what I'm doing right now is I've got all my video material on the NAS for free, and I've got all my files on the physical machine, which is really fracked up, but it works. That's how good NAS for free actually is. If you think it's a little bit too geeky for your taste, that's okay. But if you want to play around with stuff and want to learn about RAID and stuff like that, NAS for free is a great place to start and to learn about storage and to learn about what is RAID. When you use virtual machines, you can even say, you know, I'll make 5 virtual disks and I'll make NAS for free act as if these disks are actually physical disks. And you can set up RAID and mirroring and whatever you want. It all works just fine. I really like the solution. Great to play around with, absolutely free. And a nice solution for a geeky night out, but also for a very nice cross-platform file sharing platform, is called NAS for Free. It's called NAS for Free. I absolutely like it. I set it up as an experiment only to talk about it on this podcast in a virtual machine. And you know what? Even in a virtual machine, I'm going to keep it because it does really serve a lot of needs and a lot of services. So go to the internet, go forth, take a look at the website for the show notes, download your NAS for free, take a beige box and either put it on there and slam some disks in there or make a virtual machine and start playing around with virtual hard disks to serve up the files and give you the technology that you need to tune that file sharing technology into your cross-platform lifestyle. And that's all we have time for this week on the Nightwise.com podcast. KW405 NAS for free as a cross-platform sliders file sharing solution. if I can call it like that. I hope you enjoyed the episode. It was nice and geeky and techy, but I know you like it that way. And it did incorporate a lot of the technologies that we mentioned in earlier podcasts. If you are a little bit puzzled about what's virtualization and what can I do with it, you might want to check out some episodes of season 3 of the Nightwise.com podcast or the previous podcast where we talked about Proxmox and VirtualBox and virtualization, because we also explain all of those things in detail in those episodes. Well, the only thing that I have to say for today is, you know where to find us, www.nightwise.com, KNIGHTWISE.com. And with the end of the year coming up, I have a request. Nightwise.com is a free podcast. We don't have sponsors, and you don't have to pay anything to listen to that podcast. It's available on the internet every single 2 weeks, well, every 2 weeks, and you can download it absolutely for free. Making the Nightwise.com podcast is a joy to do, and I must say, I don't want to get paid for it ever. The people who ever do want to get paid are the people of the hosting company. We need to pay the bills to keep the website alive, and we will take care of all the energy and the effort that it does to make the shows. But we do ask this time for a little favor. If you want to, if you can, and if you feel like it, you might want to help us out paying the hosting bill. The hosting bill, I'm going to be very honest, is $240 every year. I don't ask for anything else, but if you guys and girls want to help out the show and chip in for the hosting bill for this year, I would be very, very happy. You can do so. Just go on over to www.nightwise.com and on the right side, click on the PayPal button. You can donate whatever you want to donate. Now, I know what you're going to say. Yeah, everybody's asking for donations. Well, I'm not asking. I'm selling you something. Because if you donate, whatever amount that it is, doesn't matter if it's $1 or if it's $241, we will honor that donation and we'll get something in return. At the end of the year, I'm going to release an ebook. Yes, an ebook. I'm going to release an ebook with the best story time stories of the last 5 years on the Nightwise.com blog, and I'll add in some nice illustrations. I'll make it a very special collector's book for everybody who's been donating. The book will not be available online, it will not be downloadable, it will only be sent directly to the people who donate to our, you know, annual Can We Please Have Some Money. You can do so, just head on over to www.nightwise.com. If you don't have any money, the only thing that you need to do is go to people who have money and tell them to donate. Just, you know, do some begging for us. That's okay as well. That's all we have time for this week. I will see you in 2 weeks when we do another episode of the Nightwise.com podcast. Until then, make sure our hacks, tips, and tweaks work for you cross-platform geeks, and let technology work for you instead of the other way around. See you guys around. Goodbye.
You have been listening to the Nightwise.com podcast, the show with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Send your feedback, questions, or start your own personal flame war by contacting us directly on feedback@nightwise.com or following us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+. You can support the show by sharing it with your friends or writing us a nice iTunes review at www.nightwise.com/iTunes. Or, if you have some credits to spend, click the PayPal button on the Nightwise.com website to help us pay the bills. Just remember, there is real life outside cyberspace. But it's not all that important.